हरे ओ प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Uddhavas then suddenly expresses his bewilderment. He tells Lord Krishna the following verse, 16 through 17. My Lord, even the learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that your greatness engages in fruitive work, although you are free from all desires, and that you take birth, although you are unborn, that you flee out of fear of the enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time, and that you enjoy household life surrounded by many women, although you enjoy in yourself. O my Lord, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time, and there is no limitation to your perfect knowledge. Thus you are sufficiently able to consult with yourself, yet you called upon me for consultation as if bewildered. Although you are never bewildered, and this act of yours bewilders me. So this constant element of contradiction, right? Because that's where the taste lies, is when these contradictions are at work, right? Otherwise, how does this whole social element, the masculine and feminine principle, come up? Unless it's the contradiction, you know, that the cooperative function between contradictions, that's actually giving the taste, right? So that's the whole point. Because otherwise, everything is perfectly blended in his self as the one supreme absolute truth, right? So that gives a certain level of perfection. I mean a perfect perfection, you know, it's unlimited, but greater than that is within that, it's even more taste when now you deal with where you actually put together combinations of all those contradictions that are so perfectly resolved in the absolute. Right? So for Krishna, that's done by his will. And by his will, then all the energies work for his benefit, his satisfaction. We, due to our will, then we also are put in contact with these contradictions. But the problem is it's not that the energies are not controlled by our will. They're only putting us into scenarios that are connected with our will. And so since it's not about our satisfaction, it's about Krishna's satisfaction, therefore the more the contradictions, the less it works out. Right? Though there is the concept that the greater the contradictions, the better it's going to be, because it is on the spiritual platform.
So the motivation is
to reverse it. So now, what's the problem? So the problem's not that the contradictions are there, but the contradictions drive us nuts. And the more complicated it is, the more nuts. Right? So the trick is not... So generally what we'll do is either karma, we try to put together as many complications as possible. Right?
Yes.
Like the watch that has the most complications costs more. Right? There's ones that have over like 200 complications. Right? Very expensive. You know, they talk about, you know, there's this one made in 1867. You know, and then there's this other one in this kind that was made, you know, like there's one made here and there because it's so complicated. Right? So then karma, we try to put together more complications. Right? You know, it's just like the kids out in the backyard with their toys and all that, and they're happy. Right? But the adult has to have the same thing, but in a more sophisticated, more complicated environment, right? The kid in the backyard, do you have to put petrol in their car? No? But it moves. It makes noise. Vroom, 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 vroom. You know, it does everything. Their car can even fly, right? Our cars can't fly. It means they're working on it, of course, but hey. You know, so our car has to have petrol. It has to have so many things like this. You have to have parking space, you know, like that. You know, the difficulty with the adult is finding a parking space. The problem with the kid and their cars is putting them in the parking space, right? Instead of all over the floor, then they're supposed to be in the parking space that the mom says that's where all your toys go, right? Okay. So we see is that we're making it more complicated. Right, the house, you do whatever you want and all this, and Barbie moves around, everybody moves around, the teddy bear and the firemen, it's all great, right? But then you have to have this big old house, pay the mortgage, pay all these different things like that. But right? Are there any burglars breaking into Barbie's house? Right? Generally not, right? You know.
Only if it supports Russ.
Yeah, only if it supports, yes. But that's, yeah. So then, yeah, we won't even get into this one. So, then we make it more complicated, and that's karma. And then from doing that, then we say, this is insane, right? The kids could have told you that in the first place, right? But whatever it is. So then we say, get rid of all the complications, so there's nothing. It's just all one. And then there's the happiness there. And the happiness there is higher than the material happiness with all the complications. The problem is that then we think that the spiritual life, why would Krishna do this? Because these complications create problem. Why would he do that for happiness? Right? Naturally, he'd just sit down and be himself. And then that would be the highest. But it's not, it's the other. So the problem is not the complications. The problem is the complications aren't in connection with Krishna. That's the thing. So as soon as you connect these complications to Krishna, then it's not a problem. Does that make sense? So therefore, the residents of the spiritual have very sophisticated lifestyles, but it's all connected to Krishna. So it's not a problem. That's what we want to do. So the balance of the combination. So yes, the element of jnana is there that we're trying to get out of the material world. We don't want to get involved in the material complications. But that doesn't mean we don't use complications for the Lord's satisfaction.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
So karma is, I use complications because I want them. That's the problem. Yes. And jnana is, I for myself don't want complications, I don't use them. So the concept is that not for myself but for Krishna, I use complications to please Him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
It appears that in Vaikuntha there are less complications, and in Braj, maximum complications.
Yes, yes. Because there it's 100% about Krishna. But then as you come down in the realms, then there'll be, you know, it's perfect in that it's complete, it's all connected to Krishna. But it's connected to Krishna and there's our interest. Though the interest is connected to the Lord. Does that make sense? But in Braj, it's just about Krishna. It's 100% about Krishna. So you can handle the greatest amount of complications. That's why it's the greater of the realms, the most intense. Because why complications? Complications increase intensity. That's the whole point, is that you do something and say it's blasé, because there's no intensity. It's not that it's not nice and all. It means before it was the new thing and all that, but as soon as it becomes standard, then it's considered ordinary. Because there's no intensity. So the whole idea is that by increasing intensity, is that, does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is the complications do that. So Braj is the most intense because it's always there, and they're coming up with newer and newer constantly. So that's why it's not just simply, you know, Krishna, you know, sneaks off to the Rasa dance and Radharani gets in her, you know, how you say, swan airplane with 10 million maidservants and flies to the place of the Rasa dance, and then, you know, everything's arranged so perfectly. It was a wonderful night. Right? Because that's nice. But more complicated is you don't know where Krishna is. They're going out, they're sending the spies, and they're figuring out where he is. Then they go there, then they're arranging. Then, you know, when he gets there, then, you know, how you say, Radharani deals in one way, then Krishna deals in another way, and all these different things. So, does this make sense? That's the difference in the realms. So that's why when you leave out the aspect of separation, you greatly reduce the complications. So you actually reduce the intensity.
Yes.
So when one is not appreciative of separation, but one appreciates the pastimes of the Lord, then it simply means is that you like that more pleasant. Which is fine, because it's all connected to Krishna. The point is, if it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. But what's being offered is what has not been offered before. To get involved in that most intense and complex pastimes of drugs. That's what's being offered. Because everything else, all the other realms have been offered before. Even worship of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. In spontaneous devotional service. But never the element of separation. That's what makes the uniqueness of the Gaudiya line. That's what's special. Yeah. So then, like that. So, here, that it bewilders. It says the saints and sages are bewildered because it's opposites. Right? For the mundaner, he'll not be bewildered. Of course that's there, but then he'll think, the Lord's just an enjoyer like them. You know, so one thinks, yeah, he's just like me. The other one thinks, why is he doing that? Who would do that? So that's the problem. Is no, it's that all these complications are originally there to increase his pleasure. So it's his desire. So when our desire is in line with his desire, then it's perfect. But if our desire is separate from him, seeing that it's not our energies that get things done, it's not going to work out. Right? That's the whole point. Right? The guy owns the house. He wants to have a rave. You know, you help him organize it. Everything's fine. It's his house. He doesn't know about it. You organize a rave. It doesn't work out so good. Right?
You have to organize it really well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Really. Wishing to hear Lord Krishna's explanation of many topics, Uddhava spoke to him these words. As it pointed out before, he's saying he's not bewildered, but he's appreciating the feeling that others who don't know him as the personality of Godhead, how they feel bewildered. Okay, verse 18. My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, the transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself. Add which you explained before to Brahmaji. In the phrase, tad vrijinam tarema, may cross over all difficulties, the word vrijinam may mean the unhappiness of being separated from my direct service, or it may mean the distress and bewilderment of residing in the material world. It is... Yes?
Did Uddhava know that all that confidential knowledge was already imparted to Lord Brahma in those four verses?
Krishna told him. Like that. That's, Krishna told him he spoke those. So now he wants to know, what is that? It's Krishna brought it up. So he wants to know. But as Prabhupada and the Acharyas point out, is that the level of understanding of it was not revealed at that point to Brahma. So Brahma has that knowledge, but up to a particular level. Right? So especially the element of the Brahman and Paramatma levels. And then you know he's a person. But the actual, the focus on that personal level, that's what now is being discussed with Uddhava. So it's the same thing, but on a higher level. It is by confidential knowledge that one crosses over this difficulty. Then Uddhava said, Lord Krishna then fulfilled my desire. Right? So, crossing over all difficulties, then we generally look at it that the problems that get in the way of us doing what we want to do, right? That's here. But then he's bringing out the unhappiness of being separated from my direct service. So what it is my service that I always do, the difficulties that come up, they're separating me from that. Right? So that's different. Or the distress and bewilderment of residing in the material world, because it's always, everything always comes up not connected to Krishna. And then you always have to make that endeavor. So then you're having to cross those difficulties. So these, for the devotees, these are the real difficulties. If the material world is going to make trouble, that's not the problem. That's what it does. So the real importance is that crossing the difficulties means we're able to be engaged in our service and not be involved within the material world. So, Buddha said to Sri Vidura, verse 19, when I thus expressed my heartfelt desires under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about his transcendental situation. In this verse, the words transcendental situation refers to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, which the Lord revealed to the demigod Brahma in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. These words also refer to the transcendental realm of Dwarka, as has been described in Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha Anucheda 7. This spiritual world is described in the four nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2:9-33-36. In wonderful pastimes like these, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals the truth that he is controlled by his devotees' love. By understanding these truths, Uddhava became again peaceful and composed. Then he himself entered that spiritual abode the Lord had described to him. Lord Krishna gives the same instruction in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-33. Although analytic knowledge, right, because if you understand this, then that's where the situation is. Otherwise, there's so many aspects. But all those knowledge about the Lord on the Brahman and Paramatma levels is so that we're not distracted in this material world. And you can see the connection of anything to the personality of Godhead. But the point is to get to the personality of Godhead. So getting there, then at that point, then you enter the spiritual world, because that's where the Lord, you know, in his name, form, qualities, pastimes, associates, dham, paraphernalia, that's all happening. Yeah.
So what actually distracts us is karma and gyan?
Karma and gyan distracts us, because we're using that same knowledge and situations to think of ways that we can be happy, either by how to use this for ourselves and we'll be happy, or how to get rid of this for ourselves to become happy, rather than how to engage this in Krishna's service. Right? Because if I use it for myself, it's the mistake is the secondary. I think it's because I'm engaging the activities of karma, that's my problem. No, that I'm doing it for myself is the problem. So because I'm seeing it externally, therefore, my solution is external. It's secondary. I'm going to therefore say, therefore, get rid of these activities, and then I myself will be happy. But the real problem is the primary element that I think I'm going to make myself happy, either through karma or jnana. Right? So that's the difference in bhakti. You're not changing the activities and knowledge of karma and jnana. You're changing the primary element, which is I'm doing it for myself or I'm doing it for Krishna's pleasure. That's the bewildering part, because we're used to, if I'm going to make any adjustment, the adjustment's always in the secondary. You know? That's the thing. Whatever I'm doing now, if it's not working, I should do the opposite, right? I'm growing my hair, so therefore I will shave all my hair, right? You know, or I'm wearing, you know, very cultured clothes or reserved clothes. I wear wild clothes. I'm, you know, not spending my money. I will spend my money. Or if I'm spending my money, I won't spend. You know, it's whatever it is, it's going to be the opposite. Because our idea is that, no, if there's a problem, change the externals. It's always about the secondary. But we'll never address the primary, which is, it's about Krishna. Because the primary is, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. That's the one, that's sacrosanct. We just don't touch that one. Right? You can get up to the liberated platform, get rid of everything, all your upadis, except that one. Otherwise, why Brahmananda? Because it's about my Ananda. Who's Ananda? My Ananda. My Ananda, yes.
But even if you want to do that, it's quite impossible to touch it. Because it ruins all the identity based
yes.
on whatever...
Yes,
you know,
yes, yes. So you can't. So it's the original identity. So then the secondary identity is what we do. That's why it says that the primary weakness of heart is I'm the controller and enjoyer. The secondary weakness of heart is that what specific material facilities and that I want to enjoy or identity that I have. Right? So that's always going to be there. So that element is what's going to be create the mood. Yeah. So yes, you can. That's why the first thing in Krishna consciousness, okay, we say we're not the body, we're the soul. Okay, but we can't stop there. Therefore, the soul is servant of God. Now we've replaced. Because if I get rid of the one, okay, I'm the soul. Okay, I'm still the controller and enjoyer. But then is that you have to replace that with, I am the servant of the Lord. That changes the whole dynamic. Just changing that one thing, as we mentioned, because in the whole psychological process of reasoning, your choices in life are going to be based on your identity. So if it's I'm the controller and enjoyer, you know, whether it's more jnana, more karma, that's individual. It's basically the same. So, I'm sorry. But ultimately then, it's going to be a mundane choice. But then if you change that I am the servant of the Lord, then the choice is going to be based on that. So the one thing, that's why it said, give up the results of the activity for Krishna. So what's the effect? If I think I'm the servant of Krishna, so then I'm going to do what? Service, which means work, which means the results, which means
karma
yoga. we're still working in the realm of the secondary. Why are we... What's the point of the results? What are you going to do with them?
Enjoy.
Okay, so we're still on this side. You're not going across to that side. Okay, crossing to that side. Someone else, and okay, then the wife, the family, the kids, the nation.
The big someone.
Oh, the big someone, okay. So, that means, so the result of identifying I'm servant of Krishna, therefore making choices based on that, is the results of my activities will be for Krishna. So, therefore, even if I don't have that attitude, right, because what's happening? I'm servant of Krishna, everything's for Krishna. What happens if I don't fully identify with I'm servant of Krishna? So we still work on the external element, because that's what we're doing. So I give up the results for Krishna, even if I'm totally attached to it. Does that make sense? So that's sadhana bhakti. That's we practice doing what... So we think, okay, that's here, but when we get to the advanced level, it'll be something else. Why do we think like that? Because we think it's all about externals, the secondary. So therefore, when I get to advanced level, then the secondary will look different. No, the difference is that the secondary will remain, but the primary will change. That's the real change, right? Why is this coming? Because of this influence that we're not going to change I'm the controller and enjoyer, we always change the secondary. Right? That's the weakness. So the Mayavadi idea is that, you know, we keep this like that. The Karmi's idea is we keep this. So in any case, that's always kept. So the Mayavadis think, okay, to make it spiritual, I don't do karma, I throw out everything. No activities, no forms, no relationships, no emotions, no nothing. Right? Does that make sense? But they keep the problem, they still keep the problem. You know, the example is given of the person is worried about inauspicious signs, and he's always looking for them as he's going in his rickshaw. But he's carrying a black cat on his lap. Right? That's the. I'm not sure whose example that is, if it's Puranic or like that, but it's
good.
Yeah. You know, because at any moment the cat gets spooked and jumps off, and there's your bad omen right there. Is that? So. The real thing is changing that mood. So sadhana bhakti is addressing that we're going to work in externals. Therefore, we change the externals. Okay. Then, what do? We do work for Krishna. Right? We dress for Krishna. We eat for Krishna. We talk for Krishna. We live our lifestyle for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. So the real thing is changing the mood. So we're changing these things as practice that these things support.
Yes.
But what are we changing to? Something in the spiritual world. You understand? You understand that? Do we see there's another implication here, other that we lately have been trying to avoid. But if we take it from the other, just take this further. Okay, now, what would the acharyas give since it's about the mood? It's the change of mood, it's not the change of the externals. What externals would the acharyas give us? The externals of the spiritual world. Why give anything else? Because it's not about change, because those aren't difficult. That you cook something for Krishna, that's not rocket science. Right? Does that make sense? You cook things Krishna likes, you do things the way he likes, you use language, you talk, you use the references, the lifestyle. That's the straightforward. The difference is the mood. What separates Braj from go cool from go loca? It's the mood. That full surrender of the residence of Braj. You understand? That's the essential point. So, what's going to change is as you advance, you're going to start changing your mentality. First you're hearing, then you actually do hear. When you do hear, because you're stable, right? Then you get a taste. Why? Because then the form of the Lord is there, right? Then from that you get attachment. The qualities of the Lord are there. Then ecstasy. Then the pastimes of the Lord is there. Right? Yes.
With all that, we say that we're not the doers.
Yes.
And it means that we can do whatever we do, but still the result is up to Krishna. If
yes.
We get the taste or not. Because otherwise we can say, I'm doing all this for so many years.
Right.
Here is the result. I want my taste.
Yeah, yeah.
And so coming.
Yeah. There's one kid. He sat down at this table, Indian kid, right? Kicked down. Took his spoon, put the stuff in his mouth, and he complained to his mom, the taste is not coming. Like, where's the taste? You know, right. So he already knew it was about the taste. You know, other kids would go, I don't like this. And his point is, no, you're supposed to like it. You know, where's the taste? Different perspective. That's there, but the thing is it's still, it's about my taste, so that the primary thing is still not quite right. So we're practiced in it. That's why it ultimately has to come across to, it's about Krishna. Because ultimately my taste, whether it's karma or jnana, it's still material. You know, karma, I enjoy the facilities, or I enjoy the lack of, you know, being out of the material world. You know, no facilities at all. Right? You know. Is that So it's still the karma, so that's why we're always being told that, so that we don't make that mistake. Because otherwise we make the mistake. So what we're saying is that if it's there, it's a matter of changing this from karma to jnana. So it's not a matter of changing the externals. So that means if we're looking at Krishna consciousness from these externals, then we will think, if I want to preach to people, there may be a need to change the externals. Right? Because I'm saying Krishna consciousness is the external. So someone wants to be Krishna conscious, they can't relate, at least in my mind, they can't relate to the externals we're following. Therefore, I change the externals, then they can relate and they'll be Krishna conscious. But what am I actually offering? Because I'm not talking about the principal point. That's about changing the mood. Right? And so therefore, because you might say, is no, but these are what we've been given. No, but that's India. Right? India is a country in the planet. And, you know, the West has so many other countries in the planet. Right? So therefore, you know, Heisei. And of all those, it means if you'll notice the country codes.
Yes.
Where do they start? Yes, okay. So that's where it all begins, right? So we start there, number one, and then we progress from there, right? And your country is number 900 and... yes. Yeah. What's three? Huh? Yeah, it's funny how it is, because... Whatever. We won't get into that. So the point is then we're thinking that so therefore hard preaching is presenting Krishna consciousness and that lifestyle as it is. Soft preaching is adjusting that. But no, it's neither. Neither of those are really preaching. Preaching is exposing people to the concept that it's not about ourselves, it's about God, our relationship with God. That's the preaching.
Yes.
So it's not about hard preaching, soft preaching, because hard preaching, soft preaching is about the externals, the secondary. There's only preaching, which is about the primary.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yeah, and the karmis get this, actually.
The karmis will get this. The kid will get this. That's the point. This is universal. The externals, that's the thing where you say, okay, well that's Vedic and this is modern and like this. They don't, you know, catch the transcendental element. But that's where you'll see the difference. But in the primary, that anyone from any background, anywhere can catch. That's the universal preaching. Now, in applying universal preaching, you have to preach to the individual. And their situation. That's when you make adjustments in the form of it to match. But it has to be seen how to take what they're doing and connect it to Krishna. It means, in other words, the primary is the main. And okay, you're in this situation. You engage that in this primary element. That's preaching. Not this what we call hard or soft preaching. These, because they're only dealing with the external. Right? So this primary, that's the real preaching. And you see the acharyas, they do this so well. How does Prabhupada talk to everybody? He's always talking this. We're thinking, oh, this is hard preaching. No, this is preaching. That's why, you know, after two sentences, whoever it is listening to Prabhupada. Prabhupada speaks out. They're listening. We speak out, it's a 3-hour argument. Prabhupada speaks out, why? Because he always goes to the essence. Well, we'll catch the secondary and argue over that. Right? So there's always going to be a difference in external. Because everybody's unique in their conditioning. They're also unique in the spiritual position, but the point is, so what's the common ground? It's the principle. That's how everybody. Now here's another great part about it. is this now, since they have caught, if it means if they have caught, it means that you're preaching, you get them to catch the primary element, you've applied it into their situation. Right? Now, as they practice that in connection with the Lord, then they become purified. What happens when they become purified? From passion and ignorance, then therefore the practice and the mode of goodness aren't a disturbance for them anymore, or a distraction or something impossible. So naturally then, and with time, they'll take up the recommended lifestyle. That's why probably it doesn't matter what the external is, it's what is there. He had standards in the temple, right? Because they have to show what is that mode of goodness lifestyle that's recommended, that's used in the Lord's service. But in the community, they start wherever they are. It doesn't matter. But now if they want to emulate that higher standard, that recommended standard, then that's there. You don't tell them, no, that's not important. That's external. You know? But so is their alternative. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we have to be very clear. It's not pro-Vedic or pro-modern. It's about what's reality. That's what we're actually trying to get. That's what Bhagavatam is giving. That's why it's considered the superior literature. Because the Vedic, trees and fire don't go so good together. Yeah, just put it on the other side. Does this make sense? So it's just a matter of this simple philosophical points and the practices given by the acharyas. So it's not a problem. You want to do certain things in a certain way, fine. But the point is it only becomes Krishna conscious when you can connect it to Krishna. And that requires some knowledge. Right? Through knowledge you become inspired. Right? Through detachment you become peaceful. Right? Does that make sense? That's coming up in Maitreya, that's one of his points. Right? So those are side things from devotional service. Knowledge and detachment come automatically with devotional service. So you become inspired, you become peaceful. So that's the... Yes? Yes. Yes, but you change the externals as you see them connected to the primary. Right? In other words, there are things that are recommended, whether we understand them or not. Just like children, they do certain things. They don't understand why they have to wash their hands after eating. It's just something that's done. Later on, they'll appreciate cleanliness. Right? So that's why there's a recommended pancharatrik sadhana. Right? Because our sadhana is pancharatrik. Right? So, and that's coming from Narad Muni, so it can't be too bad. Right? Right. And since he's one of those sages that see past, present, future, then he knows it'll work in the future and at the present. Right? So it's good. We don't have to worry here. Right? So then the aspect is what we can, like, why do we make adjustments? It's not that we're just adjusting. If we just adjust, then that's nice. That means that there's some submission, some faith like this. But where there should be the understanding why we're adjusting them. Right? Then, because the people ask, we can say. If we come up with a question, then we can say. So those things that adjust easily, why wouldn't you? If you're doing something in the mode of passion or ignorance, there's a mode of goodness alternative, and you have no problem with it. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So why you wouldn't do it? Now, if you have issues with it, then don't worry about it. But know that what you're doing is not up to standard, but it's where you're going to start from. Right? Let's say you want to get from point A to point B. Okay? So you start moving. Now, if you're in the bottom of a well, that's not ideal. So you can't say, you can't use the plan, I'm starting from on the land and walking. No, you're in a hole, right? So you have to get out of the hole, then you can go the normal. But you have to accept that I'm in a well here. So if you have to accept I'm attached. And material attachment, no matter what it is never good. But of them, the ones in the mode of goodness are more easily engageable because of the element of knowledge. Passion, ignorance, the weakness is because they don't have knowledge. Does this make sense? Yeah. If that's there, that's called honest. This other thing, oh, we're just being honest, you know. We're just doing, you know, we're just being ourselves. Since when is the conditioning ourselves? How is that honest? That's a total lie. This is called rhetoric. Rhetoric means saying whatever needs to be said to get done what you want. We're not talking about truth here. We're just talking about getting done what we want. So this is rhetoric. Popular. Does this make sense? Yeah. So therefore, wherever you're situated, it doesn't matter. Start from there. That's where the acharyas, they're able to accommodate. Right? So Srila Prabhupada's there, he can sit there with sadhus and be perfectly comfortable. He can sit there on 26th Second Avenue with, you know, whatever you want to call them. Right? You know, some variety of, you know, human form, not culture, but form. Right? You know. Right? And he's comfortable. Why? Because he's seeing the living entity. But he's always preaching that primary element. And you can say, see, it doesn't matter, but then you give those guys on 26th Second Avenue some time, and what do they start to look like and behave like? Those same sadhus, yeah, human beings. Because that's just the recommended process. Why? All that we're being given is what they do in the spiritual world. We're thinking there's some different special thing when we get to there that's more advanced, some special external. No, it's the mood. So if liberation doesn't mean much to us, but devotee has liberation, why would these other forms have big deal? So that's why we don't have a problem with using opulence, because they have opulence in the spiritual world. But at the same time, the mood is detachment, because it's for Krishna. That's why detachment is considered higher than attachment here, because attachment here is not about Krishna. It's about ourselves. Well, detachment may be about ourselves, but at least you've gotten rid of part of the problem. So in that way, it's closer to Krishna. Now all it is I've gotten rid of this, then now it's just a matter of that last connection to Krishna. The other one, you have two things. Right? So that's why it's considered renunciation is higher. Right? But ultimately, it's about performing nice things in relation to Krishna. So the renunciation is connection to Krishna with something nice, not with nothing. Right? Hard to offer nothing to Krishna. Right? I offer this void to you. It's his void anyway. Yeah, so that's the does it make sense? Yeah? Good? Does that reconcile all these different things? Yes. Yes.
It's like a cultural revolution. It's like a revolution.
Cultural revolution. That's what the Bhagavatam says 5,000 years ago. Yeah, we're talking about, cultural revolution. Bhagavatam's talking about that. It's not a new thing. So alternative and Bhagavatam. You don't get more alternative than devotees. The lifestyle of the spiritual world, mentality of the spiritual world, now that's real alternative. You know, alternative music, alternative lifestyle, alternative, you know, that's... So in other words, the people that can't accept that, they're actually quite conservative. But the fun part is they'll always present themselves as they're the liberals. Right? Because that's the point. Prabhupada can accept all of it. You want to deal that way, fine. But ultimately, why will one remain like that? You'll only remain that way and say, don't become like this because it's Indian, because you're attached. So that's mundane. So it's not progressive. So yes, it's not about the externals. It's about the internal. But you can't argue it's not about the externals, and therefore then the conclusion is, therefore I accept these externals. When the internal has not been placed, and it's not scientific. You say, yes, it's all for Krishna. How? That's what these cantos are explaining, especially second canto, how to connect all that to the Lord. Right? So second canto is dealing with that aspect, all these will, but it's dealt very nicely with the Brahman and Paramatma aspect and shown its connection to the Supreme. Now we see these elements of how to connect to the personality. Right? As we've done. So,
yes.
Okay. Okay. Okay, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals the truth that he is controlled by the devotee's love. By understanding these truths, Uddhava again became peaceful and composed. Right, because it's through knowledge through that knowledge, then you give up the attachments, you become peaceful.
Yes.
Right? Krishna gives the same instruction in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-33. Through analytical knowledge, ritualistic work, mystic yoga, mundane business, political rule, people seek to advance in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But because you are my devotee, whatever men can accomplish in these multifarious ways, you will very easily find within me. Because Krishna is the results, he is the activities, he's the endeavor, he's the ingredients, he's everything. So whatever you're looking for, let's say you take analytical knowledge, you know, is it a particular branch of analytical knowledge? Is it the technique of analyzing? You know, is it the taste gotten from that? But Krishna's all three of them. You know, same in the ritualistic work. There's the endeavor, there's the ingredients, there's the results, there's the experience gained. Krishna's all that. You know, same in yoga, same in business, same in political rule. So, therefore, if you focus on Krishna, that as the primary, the secondary is always taken care of. That's why we can say that. You deal with the primary, whatever you need, facility, this, that, it's all automatically there. You don't have to separately endeavor for it. Does that make sense? Yeah. For Uddhava, Lord Krishna was the supreme goal of life. This, Srila Sukadeva Goswami had previously explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna kept Uddhava on the earth so that he could preach the science of devotional service. Later, when Srila Sukadeva Goswami knows the science of devotional service, you must know about the knowledge itself. Right? That should be understood. That should be appreciated. Later, when Srila Sukadeva Goswami was preaching the glories of the Lord's pastimes, there was no longer any need for Uddhava to stay on the earth. Then, in his original spiritual form, Uddhava attained the glorious spiritual land of Braj. This was Uddhava's earnest desire, as he himself had said in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-61. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members, who are very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their feet. Sukadeva Goswami informed King Parikshit that Uddhava, being thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all Vedic knowledge and the spiritual master of the three worlds, reached the pilgrimage site of Bhadrikashrama and engaged himself there in trance to satisfy the Lord. Verse 32. In verse 32, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the Lord's authorization to Uddhava to preach on his behalf. Undoubtedly, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to encourage Arjuna to fight. And yet, to complete the transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructed Uddhava. Right? Because you have these different levels of the Gita. Right? So you have the Bhagavad Gita, here you have the Uddhava Gita. The Lord wanted Uddhava to fulfill his mission and disseminate knowledge which he had not spoken even in Bhagavad Gita. Right? Because the Bhagavad Gita, being the foundation, is going to focus more on us being aware of this secondary and how we're not using that connected to the primary. But our focus is still going to be on the secondary, because we see at the end of the Gita, then sarva dharma paritya ja. It's not about the secondary. It's not about the dharma, the thing you're working with. It's about pleasing Krishna. Right? I'm cooking. There's a dharma to cooking. So I'm going to use all the technique of that cooking nicely to serve Krishna. Right? But it's not about the dharma of the cooking. That's the I'm doing that. Why? Because I have that nature. And then I'm connecting it to Krishna. So the whole Gita is talking that. But at the end of Gita, then Krishna is saying, it's not about the dharma, how nicely you've done it. It's about pleasing Krishna. If you're trying to please Krishna, therefore, you want the best cooked thing for him. Therefore, you're going to utilize the dharma properly to get something properly cooked. But it's not about the dharma, it's about Krishna. So that's at the end of Gita. So that's what Uddhava Gita then deals with.
Yes.
Is how to do that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's like a continuation.
It's like a continuation. That's what he says here. Lord wanted Uddhava to fulfill... Yeah, and yet to complete the transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructed Uddhava. Right. So in other words, all the knowledge is there, but just that focus. In other words, the form of knowledge, everything's in the Gita. But that full understanding, the mood, that we're getting with the further instructions of the Uddhava Gita.
Yes.
Yes.
Can we say that Uddhava Gita focuses on primary, whereas Bhagavad Gita is more or less on secondary?
Means Gita's on the primary, but because we're new at it, we're only catching the secondary. It's just like when you get, like, you see now we don't get as much, but in the first couple of years, when we give an example, then this discussion would go off into the example. You know, like that. You know, so we have to discuss the example. To, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's an example, because you're trying to catch the primary.
Some changes there.
Some changes there, yes, yes. Oh, that's good. Yeah, yes.
Uddhava must be a very special devotee, because he's not a resident of Vrindavan, but still he went there and saw and realized the mood to some extent, but then he didn't remain.
Because he has his service to Krishna.
So he serves somewhere else.
It means his service is in Dwarka to Krishna, so that's why he goes back. But he maintains that mood of the Brajabasis. That he picked up. So that's what makes him unique. So that's why it said, in Dwarka, he's the leading devotee. Like that. You know, we're not counting, you know, Rukmini and like that. We're, you know, he's the, because we're kind of, you know, it's a court seat. The Lord wanted Uddhava to fulfill his mission and disseminate knowledge which he had not spoken even in Bhagavad Gita. Persons who are attached to the words of the Vedas may also know from this verse that the Lord is the source of all Vedic knowledge. One who is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by going through the pages of the Vedas, may take shelter of one of the Lord's devotees, such as Uddhava, in order to advance further in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So someone will be attached, if they're pious, they're attached to the words of the Vedas, right? Because they know this is the right thing, it's the proper knowledge, everything must be based on that, so they'll be attached. But the point of being attached is because of its connection with the Lord. Right? It's not just the Veda is important on its own, it's important because of its connection to the Lord. It's coming from the Lord, and it describes the Lord. Right? So by approaching the devotees, then you get the real understanding of what the Veda is about. So if one is attached to the Veda, it's fine, that's good. Better than to be attached to, you know, something else. You know? Then this is, it's just a matter of now taking to the next step. Because one who is born, then one is born technically as an animal. Then by some scar associated with the parents, then one develops, one then comes to become purified. Then one studies, so one gets knowledge of the Vedas. Right? That brings you to the scholarly platform. From that scholarly platform, then you see the importance of practicing what it's teaching. That brings you to the Brahminical platform. Then by practicing the Brahminical platform in the association of devotees, then you appreciate the devotional platform. So you become a devotee. So that's the real point. Right? So that's your standard, what it's saying here. Someone who's on the Brahminical platform, or, you know, cultural platform, then they can go further by approaching the devotees. Right? So they already have the culture. Now it's a matter of changing the mentality. So that's the real cultural revolution, is changing the mentality. Otherwise, they're all the same. Everybody has a revolution. After the revolution's over, everything's basically the same. You know, it's still impersonal, right? The king is impersonal, doesn't care about the people. Okay? So you have a revolution, right? Then you establish there is no king. Okay?
Yes.
Good. Sounds great, right? We've removed the problem. Now it's about the state. So it's all about the state. So nobody cares about the individual because it's all about the state. What's the difference? Do you understand? It remains the same. You know, and then how do you define the state? Right? Because it's not a person. It's not something that is... It just changes with how the people perceive the state. So it's, again, it's just the mass of people. So it's still not individual. So we haven't solved the real problem. The root of the problem is that the lack of consideration of the individuals. So even though it appears that we've moved from a more conservative into a liberal political position, we haven't actually changed the primary element, which is still, you know, impersonal. And unfortunately, self-centered. Right? Yes.
You say it actually gets worse because before
yes.
you had the king not doing his duty, then you have everybody not doing
it. Doing their duty, yes. But now it's everybody has the equal right to not do their duty. Right? Right? Rather than the king's not doing his and everybody else is. You know, so why should he not be able to do his duty? Why can't we all not do our duty? You know, like that. Yeah. Because otherwise you come in and correct the king that he should do his duty. Like that. That should be the pressure, right? The nobility, the mercantile class, the bourgeois, that they all put that pressure. You know, and if it's a problem, then you bring all the people and let them stand outside and say he should do his duty. Then it's kind of like, okay, guess we better get it together. Right? That, you know, of course, that doesn't exactly put, what do you call it? John the Baptist's heads back on his shoulders, but, you know, whatever it is, at least it'll move forward. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing, is that there's no change in the material world. You're just changing the externals.
Yes.
You know? I'm hitting you on the head with a hammer. You know, you don't like it. Okay, I get out a baseball bat, start hitting you on the head. You know, is that better, you know? You don't like that. Well, what about this lug wrench? You know, here, that's quite nice, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. Frying pan. You know, so that's the thing, is that it doesn't change. Though it appears, that's the thing, is we think it's changed. But the real thing is you change the mentality. That's the real revolution. And you change that, then whatever is necessary to adjust in the externals, then will naturally happen. Since the gross comes from the subtle. You change the subtle, you automatically change the gross. I don't have to worry about changing the gross. But if people can't see the subtle, I work on the gross. You know what I'm saying? You're wearing the traditional clothes. It reminds you that you're a devotee. Oh, hey, let's do this. Oh, we can't because we're wearing dhotis. Right? So, you know, it helps. You know? Like that. It's only the dhoti. The sari, you can do anything you want anyway. Yeah. No, don't you guys wear, start wearing saris. Does that make sense? So, the whole revolution is to change the mentality. That's the real revolution. Because these others aren't actually revolutions. They're just changing the externals, and generally not necessarily for the better.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Revolution means full turn around.
Oh, full turn around, yeah. So they're all the back in the same place. or if you take that principle you're saying, it's going fully around the circle, coming back to the place. There's also another phrase that I say elucidates that point, is that you do something and then after a while it comes around and bites you in the backside. Yes. You going to say something? Oh, okay. One who is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by going through the pages of the Vedas may take shelter of one of the Lord's devotees, such as Uddhava, in order to advance further their knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're talking about a person who's situated in the Vedic knowledge and practicing. They're not catching. By associating with the devotees, they catch. Someone's not following the Vedic, they associate with the devotee. Then they understand the principle of the Personality of Godhead. Then they catch. That's the real change. Not that you change from practicing Veda to not practicing Veda. Because that we're going to do anyway. Right? You don't go down in samsara by practicing the Veda. And you only go up by practicing. Right? So that means half the time we're practicing, half the time we're not. Right? You know, otherwise, how do you get a circle? Right? That's also a revolution. Right? The Brahma Samhita says that it is very difficult to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedas, but it is easily understood from a pure devotee like Uddhava. Right? Because it's the association that makes it happen. It's not the form. Like that. The form is useful if it's in association of devotees. That's why association of devotees is the most essential of all the practices. Right? But that's the given. Then what you're going to do is hear and chant about the glories of the Lord.
So,
yes.
So when it says devotees such as Uddhava, it's talking
yes.
about the qualities.
The quality, yes. That's why it means, because why is it here? Lord spoke to Uddhava. Now Uddhava disseminates that knowledge. So the Lord has spoken to Brahma. He spoke to Narada. He speaks to Vyas. Like this, it comes down the line. Speaks to Madhva. So the point is those that come in the parampara, those are the kind of devotees you want to be in line with. The sampradayic devotees. Taking mercy on the great sages who lived at Bhadarika Ashrama, the Lord authorized Uddhava to speak on his behalf. Unless one has such authorization, one cannot understand or preach the devotional service of the Lord. So the sages there, Bhadarika Ashram, they're studying, they want to know, but they don't know because they don't have the association of such a devotee as Uddhava. So now the Lord has authorized him to go and preach to them so that they will understand. Right? Yes.
Is this the point to give more glories to the Lord's devotees? Because it's Narayana and Rishi there.
But who's speaking? Who's speaking to Uddhava? Yes. And so, then here it is that the devotee speaking to Krishna knows that aspect of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Didn't catch. It's not that the Lord doesn't know, but he's taking that aspect of appreciating that particular combination of qualities and situation. So now, by the association of Uddhava, then they're going to discuss about Krishna on that platform. Otherwise, as Narnarayan, they wouldn't necessarily. But the interesting thing is Narnarayan are the deity of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? That's why it says in the beginning, you know, that one offering respects to Narnarayan Rishi, Mother Saraswati, and Vyasa. Right? Because she's the goddess of learning, so to be able to understand, because we're talking about Divya Saraswati here, means the Lord's Saraswati. Right?
Why would Narnarayan Rishi be the deity of Bhagavatam? In what sense?
You want someone else? Or? Elvis is probably out of here. His shoes are too new. Right?
Him specifically, we're dealing with person here.
Because you have the Lord and his devotee, and they're one deity. Right? Because they're not the deities, they're the deity. You don't say Narnarayan Rishis, you say Narnarayan Rishi. This is, you know, so there you have that one in difference. So that's something that's not always appreciated.
It would seem by Krishna sending Uddhava there that Narnarayan Rishi are very much desirous of hearing about Krishna and Supreme.
Yes, yes.
So that's the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. So then they'll be there. So then naturally then... So it's just the Lord's passing, because it's not that the Lord can't do it, but what's the point is about the devotee. So then... Here is, he is God, so he naturally understands, but he gives the credit to his devotee, or gives that endeavor to the devotee. Because the devotee does it, therefore. Right? Krishna can protect everybody in Vrindavan, but he leaves it up to Nanda Baba and his brothers to make an arrangement to go from Gokul to Vrindavan. Like that. So they make the arrangements. So like that. That's always, it's always more fun that way. Yes? That is just like they said, that there's an interest, so therefore to speak on his behalf. So Krishna, as someone's interested, then he reciprocates. So it must be there's an interest, otherwise why send Uddhava? Is that okay? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport, explains why Krishna wanted Uddhava to remain in the world after his own departure. The Lord is describing this verse as the source of the Vedas. This indicates that the Lord knows even what is not to be known in the Vedas. He gave this to Uddhava, and Narayana would attain that knowledge from the mouth of Uddhava, who is not less than the Lord. To the recipients of the message, Narayana, he sent information. My manifest pastimes on earth will last 125 years. That is the limit. Now it is finished. I will make these pastimes disappear along with my associates, going to Prabhash and establishing the devatas back to their posts. I and my portion of Vishnu, whom Brahma requested to come, will go to Vaikuntha. Invisible to all, I will come to Badrik Ashram with a portion of Arjuna. Since Uddhava, the chief of my dear devotees, endowed with all my attractive qualities in similar form, has been assigned to you who long to see my perfect form, you should stay in Badrik Ashram to give knowledge to the world. Okay, so then they're supposed, then they're also naturally preaching. Okay. Okay. Vidura also heard from Uddhava about the appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna, the supersoul in the mortal world, which is the subject matter sought after with great perseverance by the great sages. The Lord's glorious acts and his acceptance of various transcendental forms for the performance of extraordinary pastimes in the mortal world are very difficult for anyone other than his devotees to understand. And for the beasts, they are simply a mental disturbance. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world, Vidura began to cry aloud. Overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love, after passing a few days on the bank of the river Jamuna, Vidura, the self-realized soul, reached the bank of the Ganges, where the great sage Maitreya was situated. So he went from the bank of the Jamuna to the bank of the Ganges, and then up to Haridwar. Okay, Harishishtam. References from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigned Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.13 to Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, Chapter 10, entitled Characteristics of the Inconceivable Oneness and Difference, Achinta Beda Beda Lakshanam, which is within the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. O Uddhava, in the lotus millennium, in the days of yore, at the beginning of creation, I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel, about my transcendental glories which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam. Right, so that's the Chaturshloki. So that is describing Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. That's what explains the Veda. That's what's difficult to understand. The devotees are able to appreciate this because you're dealing with something that is one and different, inconceivable. So only by the Lord's grace can that be appreciated. By karma and jnana, you can't get that. So by studying the Veda, then you'll understand the elements of karma and understand the elements of jnana. But to understand how these aspects work together simultaneously, though seeming opposing,
yes,
that's only through devotional service. So that's the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because that's the seed verses of the Bhagavatam. Just like you have a seed of a tree, it grows the whole tree. So those four verses grow the whole Bhagavatam.
For a materialist, it just doesn't make sense.
For the materialist, it doesn't make sense, no. That's why they're engaged in these complications of opposites, but they can't figure out what's happening, and they always end up with a problem. Yeah. It means you have something and you want it to be secure, so you get more things to make it secure, but then you have more things to make secure. And so then it just keeps going. Yeah. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigned Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.15 to Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala Chapter 17, entitled Analysis of the Goal of Devotional Service, Prayojana Vichar, which is within the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But, O Great One, as far as I'm concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of the lotus feet. So whatever is the prayojana of anybody else, that's already covered by the devotee. I mean, the devotee is not interested in anything because whatever there is to gain in that has already been gained in by service to the lotus feet of the Lord. As we mentioned before, he being the source of everything, therefore all those things are already contained in him. You have him, you have everything. Like that. So that's prayojana. Prayojana automatically includes anything that you'll get in anything else. Right. So, and then important verses. A devotee does not want the fruits of the Chatur Purushartha, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.15. Okay. So that was what was the one we just did. Oh my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But, O Great One, as far as I am concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of your lotus feet. Right? So that establishes that it's only pure devotional service. It's not about the secondary elements. The secondary elements are already included in the primary. Now, whether they're manifest or not is another thing. Right? Like, let's say someone knows business, right? And he's made a good investment after good study. He's confident. Right? Why? Because it's just a matter of time. Right? So the same way as if you've understood by this Prayojana Vichar that everything is contained in devotional service, performance of devotional service, right, means engaging your activities in the Lord's service for His satisfaction. It's going to give everything you need. It comes as an automatic. If I'm doing business to please Krishna, automatically there's profit. Right? If I'm cooking for Krishna, there's automatically something to eat. It's not a separate endeavor. I don't have to cook for Krishna and then cook for myself. The two happen simultaneously. Yes.
Often there's this expectation, if I'm doing it for Krishna, then I should get good results, but then sometimes they don't come.
Don't come good results. Whenever you think I've got good results, it's when you don't get good results. And when you think, oh no, this is not working out nice for Krishna, then everybody says this is fabulous. That's the way it works.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Because it's about pleasing Krishna. It's not about the results. Because it's not that, I got good results for Krishna, so that's actually what Krishna wants. No, Krishna wants the affection that you took to endeavor to get the good results. So by Krishna's grace, then you'll always get good results, but it's not about the good results.
So this is the example of the Govindaji temple.
Yes. It's the best architecture, but at the same time, it's not about that. He lives in a haveli. You know, because a haveli means a house. That's why they didn't bother Radharaman. Radharaman's the only deity that's still there, because it wasn't a temple, it was a haveli. So they just thought it was a house. So the Muslims didn't bother it. But everyone else had a temple, so you knew it was a temple, so of course they come and bother. But that's the idea of a temple. You know it's a temple, so people remember the Lord. So they knew it was a temple, they remembered the Lord, they came and they harassed. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
As far as the idea that all we have to do is one personal service and everything is achieved, that is one definition that's given for Shraddha.
Yes. 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 True. So that's that aspect. Because the point is why will you make the endeavor unless you see the goal? So if the goal is there, is that everything that I'm looking for is in Krishna consciousness, then you'll make the endeavor. So that's the faith. Yeah, that's good. Good. Very nice point. And even the sages are bewildered by Krishna's lila, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.16. My Lord, even the learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that your greatness engages fruit of work, although you're free from all desires, that you take birth, although you are unborn, that you flee out of fear of the enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time, and that you enjoy household life surrounded by many women, though you enjoy it yourself. Right? So the element of just the lila and all that, that's the special thing. It's just fulfillment of his desires of the devotees interacting with the Lord.
Yes.
Like that. That's the thing, because they're thinking, no, I'm doing this to get out of the material world.
Yes.
But they don't know that the spiritual world is actually full in relationships and lila. Right? We're just engaged in the wrong ones. So again, it's a mistake in the external. That's why the sages are bewildered, because everything we do is based on the external. More on this? Yes.
We can say that rasa is like the continuation of tattva.
Rasa is the continuation of tattva. Yeah, no, it's just the your final stage. The whole point of tattva is to understand how the Lord is engaged in pastimes with his devotees. That's tattva. Because tattva means about the Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Right? So then the point of the Supreme Absolute Truth is his relation with his devotees. That's the real thing for Krishna. Right? But for us, we're looking at it that it's about ourselves. So being about ourself, then naturally, you know, we're going to look at the externals because we're just taking the internal for granted. So we make the mistake of not catching that it's no about changing that primary what we take for granted. You know, so from that principle, that's much of the time why we do something nice and then others think, wow, this is great, so how do I do that? So I just explain the externals because I already know that. I already take it for granted. And then it doesn't work for them. You know, you take the greatest system, it doesn't work if you don't understand the primary element. Otherwise, why are there so many success books? Right? Because basically you take any one of them and you can catch the whole thing. But because you don't catch the mood, therefore then they bring out that these externals will make it work, or those externals will make it work, and each one of them makes the mistake. They may get more subtle, they may be more gross, they make combinations, but it's always that because the original primary thing has been lost. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. So then in now this part 2, chapters 5 to 12, then table of contents, we see Vidura's talks with Maitreya. Chapter 5, chapter 6, creation of the universal form. Chapter 7, further inquiries by Vidura. Chapter 8, manifestation of Brahma from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Chapter 9, Brahma's prayers for creative energy. 10, divisions of the creation. 11, calculation of time from the atom. Chapter 12, creation of the Kumaras and others. So chapter 5, Vidura talks with Maitreya. Pratigya. Vidura, who already surpasses the fallible nature of a living entity, approaches Maitreya with common questions for the benefit of common men. The Pratigya of the chapter is expressed in this excerpt from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 2. Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions, which was not originally his intention. Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord, his name, fame, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc. And thus, when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. Riti, philosophical elaboration upon the Pratigya. Vidura starts asking indirectly about topics in relation to Lord Krishna. His reasons include natural humility, concern for the common man, how to engage the less intelligent class of men in hearing Krishna katha, practical directions on how one should live, etc., which all hints to Maitreya where to start. Right? Because you're talking, say, if I just come in and say, talk about Krishna, where do you start? So here he's giving a place to start from. And then from there, then you'll expand. Yes. But he gave the Chatur Shloka. So he started from there. So then here's a similar thing. So we start with creation and that again, because that always works good for us, because it deals with what's around us here. You get a better understanding. Details can be understood from the three references below. Vidura was undoubtedly very eager to hear about Lord Krishna in particular, but he was overwhelmed because Lord Krishna had just passed away from the visible world. He therefore wanted to hear about him and his Purusha incarnations, which he manifests with full potencies for the creation and maintenance of the cosmic world. The activities of the Purusha incarnations are but an extension of the activities of the Lord. This hint was given by Vidura to Maitreya because Maitreya could not decide which part of the activities of Lord Krishna should be chanted. Right, so he wants to hear about Krishna, but because he's just passed away, there'll be that element if you go immediately into pastimes. Then there may be that feeling of separation. So you start with the Purusha avatars. So that will be more, you know, more less difficult. And it also gives, if you do, Maitreya, a place to start discussing. Right? 16th purport. Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Verse 12. Right? So the whole point is I want to hear from here in the beginning, but not how the Puranas describe it. Because the Puranas are describing in a way that the common person becomes attracted to hear. Because they want to hear the mundane topics, right? They want to, how you say, what's that famous phrase? I was curious. Right? You know, is that what it says? Yeah. I was just curious. So that's the thing, is that's how the Puranas are written, to address that just curious. But he's saying, I've already read all those. I've heard those. I want to hear the essence, though he wants to hear from here. Because that's where the Puranas start anyway. Any topic starts from the Lord and how he's entered the world, and then that particular aspect of the topic, how that is part of the world. So then you can reverse it from there. But he doesn't want to hear it from the material point of view of cultivating karma and jnana and being pious, and then ultimately giving that to the Lord. He wants to discuss it from its direct connection with the Lord. Does that make sense? So very specific how he's starting. So it's general, but it's general for those to take them from where they're used to discussing and in the form they're used to discussing to the higher platform.
So Bhagavatam is for those who actually want to know.
Yes, Bhagavatam is for those who want to know Krishna. Yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in his purport to verse 2. The Lord taught the secret knowledge to Uddhava, the greatest and most intimate amongst Krishna's devotees, not to Maitreya, who was listening. But that cannot be. To understand if Maitreya heard that knowledge or not, in the beginning, I will not ask that great soul in case he does not know. I will ask only some of my own questions. If he knows that knowledge, then he will say, O Vidura, I was taught by the Lord just for giving this knowledge to you. Please understand this knowledge about the Lord, who has no birth but takes birth, in which the contradictions are resolved, which the Lord explained to me. On his own, he will explain this. In this way, he begins speaking to Maitreya. So he's very clever. Right? So he's heard from Uddhava. Now he wants to hear more of that. So he's starting with Maitreya because he was there listening, but whether he realized it or not, that's another thing. But at the same time, Uddhava wouldn't have sent him if he hadn't. But still, you start from that platform because he is a great scholar, right? That's what he's known as, right? So he's a great scholar devotee. So then he's starting from that platform. Then he will naturally, if he's understood this essence of the Chatur Shloki, that's what he'll point out. Mm-hmm. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the fifth chapter, Vidura meets Maitreya and asks him about the knowledge he received from the world, from the Lord, specifically the creation of the universe of happiness and suffering. Maitreya describes the Lord's creation of the demigods and the basic ingredients of the universe and praises the Lord. Meeting Maitreya, Vidura inquires from him about the cause of real happiness. He requests Maitreya to guide him in becoming sufficiently purified so that the Lord may instruct him from within. Vidura then wants to know how the Lord incarnates and how he creates and maintains both the material world and the varieties of living entities. Right? So you only become actual happiness, real happiness, is connection to the Lord. Now the Lord is from within, is guiding. So, but the Lord from within guiding is the last of the expansions. So how did it get from the Lord down to here?
Yes.
Right? Because if you're hearing from Paramatma, then how did that whole process happen?
Yes.
Right? Vidura next requests Maitreya to answer his questions in such a way that all his words only relate to Krishna. Right? Because otherwise he can get into all kinds of details within the material creation. Because we're going to see something here that you do not hear in any other explanation of creation. Like that. Because it's in connection with the Lord. The other ones, the Lord started it, so it's going, And then from there you just explain mechanics. All the other creations have only been explained this way, but this one is going to show how the Lord's involved at each step. Right? So that's going to be the difference here. When he glorifies the power of Krishna Katha and its medicinal effect upon those who hear it. Again, he requests Maitreya to speak about the essence of all topics, topics about Krishna. Maitreya honors Vidura's exalted position as an eternal associate of the Lord. He begins relating how the Lord extended his transcendental potency for the continuous creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the world. Maitreya describes the Lord as the supreme proprietor, who, desiring to create, impregnates the three modes of nature and causes the appearance of the living entities. Because here you see the point. It's his desire, and that he's impregnating the material nature. Right?
Yeah.
Rather than just for the creation, he glances. Because
yeah.
We're not talking about why he's glancing, because of his desire. You understand? So what's being added, it's not that you're adding more technical information, you're adding the information actually why it's going on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like if I say, okay, why do we have sikhas? Okay, if I give you the answer, Krishna likes it, then you'll say, oh, that's just sentimental. We want a scientific answer. You understand? And if I say, okay, then Krishna comes down, the material ocean, he picks you up out of that ocean by his sikha, okay, a little bit better. Okay, and the backbone, the Brahmarandra, the energies move like that, and the Brahmarandra is the top of that whole energetic yogic cycle, and so to protect it so it's not just bare, therefore the sikha is there. Okay, got you.
That was,
you understand? Why? Because we have faith in the externals, not in actually Krishna's will. So Maitreya said, I've heard all that other stuff. Now I want to know the real essence. So he wants to go back to... Krishna just likes it that way. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Or for a Karmakandi, okay, great, but, so?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a sikha, you can't perform any of your Karmakandi rituals. Only those with a sikha can perform those rituals. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. Right?
Makes this more aerodynamic.
So that way you don't get your back of your neck doesn't get cold because the air goes off and hits the sequin. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So can we say that it's very important the mood of the person with asking question?
Yes. That's why you see is that what's being brought out in the Bhagavatam is how qualified speakers and qualified hearers are interacting. So it's question and answer. You understand? So the dialogue is based on the question. Right? You ask a question, the natural thing, you get a dialogue. But what's the important thing in the dialogue is the question. Right? So that's why you see the basis of this. That's the next section, question and answer. So that's why you see we're opening with Sutta speaking to Shaunaka, right? Then it goes into Sukadev and Parikit. And in there, then you're going to hear Uddhava, Vidura, Maitreya, Vidura, like this. It's going to go like that all throughout. So it's all about qualified people, discussing with other qualified people. So the speaker's qualified, the hearers are qualified. Then it works. Right? Because if someone wants to know the essence, then that was what will come out. So that's why, just to make sure, because he caught the understanding of that essence from Uddhava, so he wants to make sure that the discussion goes in that line. But he's giving a starting point of beginning with the creation. Because that's the standard Vedic place to start anyway. All topics start there. Right? We see when we discuss with Sukadev, with Parikit Maharaj, they start from the creation. Like that. So that's always the starting point. And then, yes. Thereafter, the ingredients of creation evolve one after another, beginning with false ego and continuing to the mind, the elements, the sense objects, the senses, and the demigods. After the demigods are created, they found themselves unable to perform their duties. This was because the elements, which had already been created, were not combining. The demigods therefore pray to the Lord for assistance. First they glorify the shelter of his lotus feet. Then they compare the results attained by devotees and jnanis. Finally they request the Lord for the ability to serve his pleasure. Right? Because, in other words, what comes up as the essential point is the Lord's involved at every step of creation. Like that. We think, okay, started it, now it mechanically just goes and now we can get involved and just run it. But unless the Lord's involved at every step, it just doesn't work. That stuff. Yes?
These demigods mentioned here, are they demigods in the primary creation? Before
everything
combined. I think there's a verse later on that says the creation of demigods is part of the primary and the secondary.
Yes, you'll have both of them, because in the primary you'll have all those things go together, because otherwise, what's the blueprint for the universe? So that's there, and then that's represented as Viraj. And then Brahma, then understanding that, then is able to do the secondary. So I would think they're both, because the demigods of the primary are the ones that perform the original sacrifice, that therefore then creates everything. So you have all the elements, the demigods, but they won't combine, because it's the Lord that has to do it. And the ingredients are the Lord. That's the only thing to work with. And so then that combination then makes it all happen. So I would expect it's more likely within the primary. Like that. Because the secondary then, you know, it's pretty well set up. Yeah, that's good. Chapter 5 summarizes questions and answers. Vidura asked Maitreya 6 questions. Questions 48 through 53 of Srimad Bhagavatam in Chapter 5. Question 48, Srimad Bhagavatam 352. How may one live for real happiness? Answer. Understanding happiness requires an understanding of the living entities as being essentially not products of material nature. The living entities are foreign to the material world. By the influence of time, the Lord places them within matter, causes them to forget their real ego, their identity as Krishna's servants, and thus adopt inappropriate independent desires, verses 26 to 31. Right, so real happiness can only be, because who wants to be happy? The soul. Right? Because the soul identifies with the body, he's not really happy. So you have to actually re-identify as not the body, as Krishna's servant. Then you can actually be happy, right? So take this situation. I engage it and I get a result, and that the experience of that result is supposed to make me happy. But who the I am, if that's wrong, then the results cannot be enjoyed. Because if I am the body, then when I get the results of the body, I should be happy. But since I'm not the body, I get the results of the body, I'm still not happy. Because they're still mundane. I'm spiritual, the results are mundane. How that's going to work out? Yes?
We're Satchidananda. So is it that we actually are happy, but we've forgotten it? Or, I mean, is that just...
Our happiness is covered.
Yeah.
So it comes through in that everybody's trying to be happy. Right? It means the Satchidananda, everybody wants to live eternally. You know, existence is very important. Even if the existence is terrible,
yeah,
they'd still prefer that to being dead. Yeah. Right? Despite, you know, owners of, you know, dogs and pets, that they think that they'd rather be dead than not being taken care of in the way they deserve. Right? You know, but the dog would rather be out there roaming the streets than be shot in the head. But whatever. Right? So, the living entity will his existence is important. He wants to have knowledge. He wants to engage that knowledge in activities that get results, right? The prayojana, and that result should make them happy. So that's Satchidananda. So every living entity does whatever they do because they are a living entity. Otherwise, without the living entity, dead matter doesn't do a whole lot. You know, that fossil's been sitting there for so many millions of years. And if you didn't come along, because you have a soul in your dead matter, and so you and dig it up like that, it would have sat there for a lot more time. Right? It's not that the fossil's just dying to get out, you know. So I say, now, hey, honey, we've been here a long time. Why don't we get out and, you know, get some fresh air? You know what happens to fossils to get fresh air? You know, so, you know it's not... Right? No, no, that's
not...
Yeah.
Not generally what we hear.
No, no. So we want to be dug up by this guy? His name's Leaky. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
So I have to think that we can be happy with the material body. This body is illusion.
This is illusion. So, but, see now, if we engage the activities of the body, which are temporary and not us, in the Lord's service, then the result that we get has that spiritual element. We still have the external result that is based on the material nature in interacting with material nature, which you'll get material nature. Right? So, yeah. But because of the connection with Yogamaya, you get a spiritual experience. So that's what's important to the soul. So it's not actually the externals that are important. We're doing all externals to get an experience. So if that experience is spiritual, which is the nature of the soul, then we're satisfied. That's why we can say, oh, we can give up the whole world to get that experience. Right? But the whole point is you can engage the whole world to get that experience. So that's the whole point, is we don't care if it's with nothing or with everything. The point is that it gets a transcendental experience. And that comes by connecting to the Lord. So that means the mechanics of creation are going to be the same, but that connection is what's going to be the unique thing in this discussion, because we've already had one discussion of creation. And it's not that that's what's so important, that's why Sukadev Goswami is speaking it again. It's now we've heard that, now what makes it actually function? You know, the real essential point. So then that's going to come up. Yes?
Yes.
So end here.
Go on.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.